Turn with me, please, in the Word of God now to Isaiah chapter 25. In the Pew Bible, that's page 586, little blue Pew Bible. That's English Standard Version. I'll be reading English Standard Version, but I preach from the New American Standard. But this is the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Let us give heed. O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For You have made the city a heap. The fortified city a ruin, the foreigner's palace is a city no more, it will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong people will glorify You, cities of ruthless nations will fear You. For You have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be on that day, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. What's for dinner? You have something in the oven waiting? Yes. I don't want to see anybody run out of here saying, I forgot to turn it on. I'm looking forward to the lasagna that Priscilla made last night, and I hope put in the oven before church. We can look around at each other, and we can give thanks to God that we eat pretty well. maybe too well. We live in a country where people eat too well, one of the few nations on earth where obesity is a problem. Or do people eat well? We read from Isaiah 55, the call to turn to the Lord, to turn from our sins and our wicked ways to Him for mercy, but turn again to Isaiah 55 and look with me at the opening verses of this chapter. Listen, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the faithful mercies shown to David. Prophet Isaiah God speaking through the prophet Isaiah pictures people who are filling not their stomachs with that which is not food. It's not really about water and bread and milk and food. But people who are filling their minds and their souls and their hearts with what you might call empty calories. I mean, think of the world we live in. What do people fill their time with when they're not working or sleeping? They fill their minds with sports and entertainment and stupid stuff on television and silly things, empty things, vain speculations about right and wrong and religion, escape and fantasy, but not with the living God. People are dead and people are dying, and they're feeding themselves on a starvation diet of spiritual junk food. That's the world we live in. I hope it doesn't describe all of you, or even any of you, although it probably does to some extent. But to those who are feeding themselves a diet of spiritual junk food and are dying and dead, God says, come, come. Come to me. You don't need money. It's a free meal. It's the one place you get a free lunch. Come to me and I will feed you that you might live, truly live. Well, the Old Testament is full of feasts. So we can talk about those feasts of long ago. Began in Eden. In some ways, Eden was a big dinner. Everything good, healthy and good to eat, just right there for Adam and Eve. And, best of all, fellowship. Glad and joyful fellowship with the living God, their Creator. All of that lost, ruined by sin. Wages of sin is death. They were warned not to disobey God or they would die. They disobeyed and they began to die. And they died in their relationship to Him. And that sin and that death have passed to us and to all of their children. But God, in mercy, met with them. And rather than pouring out the full weight of the judgment they deserved, preserved their lives and preserved the life of humanity, and made a covenant, declared His covenant to them, His promises of salvation, first spoken to Adam and Eve in the garden, promises looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in His saving work. And those were symbolized for the people of Israel with whom God made covenant after He delivered them from Egypt. And even in Egypt, He began to symbolize the promised blessings of salvation with a meal. The Passover. God saved the children of Israel who believed His word when they each killed a lamb and each family killed a lamb, put its blood on the doorposts of their houses, and the judgment of God in administering death to the eldest son of every household did not pass to them. It passed over them. They escaped that judgment of death. And Pharaoh, in desperation, sent them out of his land. They were saved by the blood of the lamb. And they were told to eat that lamb that was slain. And every year after, to remember it in the feast of the Passover. But that wasn't the only feast. There were annual feasts required by God, laid out for us in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. We won't take time to go through them. But in all of them, as with the Passover lamb, an innocent animal was put to death. An innocent animal put to death, representing the judgment of God in death that is deserved, was deserved by their sins, the sins of the people. But the innocent lamb, the innocent bull, the innocent cow gave its life, and God forgave their sins, that there might be peace between them and God. And then with many of these sacrifices, and at these festivals, they would sit down together as a congregation, a great congregation, in the presence of God at the tabernacle and later at the temple, and eat the meat of the sacrificial, of the sacrifices that had been offered. As they took the sacrifice into themselves, they observed and celebrated and gave thanks for the peace that was made between them and God through those sacrifices. Feasts of salvation. But only as types and shadows. For they were a nation that continued much in sin and much under the judgments of God. And the blood of bulls and goats and sheep could not cleanse them from their sins. They were pictures. They were foreshadowings and types of the Lamb of God who was going to come in the fullness of time, the very Son of God Himself who came from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Isaiah 25, now we talk about feasts of the future. In Isaiah 25, we have a description that looks to the future. I think looks to the future for Israel. When Isaiah spoke these words, some 700 years before Christ, but also in the ultimate sense, looks to the future. The Lord God will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples on this mountain. This mountain. Does he mean the mountain in Jerusalem? Over there across the ocean, at the eastern end of the Mediterranean, that hilltop that Israelis and Palestinians eternally fight over. Well, not eternally, but perpetually fight over. I think rather he has in view the heavenly Mount Zion, the Jerusalem that is above, for this is how it is spoken of in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 12. The whole book of Hebrews is about the fulfillment of God's salvation promises to Israel. And here we read that believing Jews and believing Gentiles have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. The book of Revelation ends in chapter 21 and 22 with the vision of the new heavens and the new earth. John says, I looked and saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven to the earth, that new earth, that perfect earth in which only righteousness will dwell. I saw the city of God come down from heaven, and the dwelling of God will then be among men. And here in Isaiah is pictured a great banquet on that day, a lavish banquet. You think about the royal wedding that was televised a year ago. Was that a year ago? And I'm sure at the reception, they didn't have potato chips and little sandwiches with one slice of ham rolled over and some American processed cheese. I'm sure it was a banquet with all the best food and the finest chefs. But the feast that is coming, the feast that Isaiah, that God promises through Isaiah, will be the greatest feast ever. The best dishes, the best meats, the best wine. Wine in heaven? Oh my. Yes, wine. Real wine. The finest, the finest. Aged and refined. What a great feast in the presence of God. A feast made possible because the Lamb is there. The Lamb who sacrificed His life, who gave His life that we sinners might be washed clean. And so that's what's spoken of next. The wages of sin is death. And over all of mankind there is the death, there is the shroud of death. We saw a description of that in terms of destruction upon the earth in chapter 24, 1 through 6, which we read at the beginning of the service. But now we read that in that day that is coming on that mountain, the mountain of the Lord, He will swallow up the covering which is over all the peoples. The veil that is stretched over all the nations, He will swallow up death for all time. If you haven't read the lead article in the last New Horizons, I invite you and urge you to read it. It's a wonderful article. And I will confess that it had an influence on my picking this passage this morning. All of us face the reality of death. But Christ who died, swallowed up by death. And yet, in being swallowed up by death, He swallowed death. He rose victorious. He is risen. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the reproach of His people from the earth. Our guilt will be gone. No more guilt, no more shame, no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more curse. That is the promise of God through His prophet Isaiah and through His apostle John. When we look in the Gospels of the New Testament, we see parables of our Lord. He speaks of a wedding feast that is coming. And indeed, Revelation 19, reprinted at the head of your bulletin, speaks of that wedding feast that is coming. The Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a great blessing. Have you gotten your invitation? Did it come in the mail? It comes in the gospel. It comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God summons you to faith in His Son, the Lamb who takes away our sins. The Lamb who died and rose again to give life, God summons us to the marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming. And there we'll be clothed in bright and pure garments, fine linen, which is, first of all, the righteousness of Christ Himself, but through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is also, to the glory of God, the righteous deeds of His people, that in this life are never perfect, but are made acceptable through the saving work of Jesus Christ and will shine in their perfection at that feast. Some of you spent a lot of money and a lot of time to be brides ready for your wedding, to look beautiful, to see your groom's mouth drop open as you came down the aisle. But a day is coming, the greatest wedding feast of all. And it is a feast, you see, a feast. I think the picture of a feast is used because there all the fullness of God's blessing, all the riches of God's grace, more than we are able to imagine. And so think of the best things of this world and multiply them by 1,000, and you're still not close to how great will be the blessings of God poured out on His people on that day. We've got a dinner waiting for us. But you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. The feast is already spread. God summons you to come and feast now. Now, you may think that I'm talking about the bread and the wine on the table, on the communion table, but I'm not. The bread and the wine are symbols. They are signs. In themselves, they are just bread. They are just wine. They have no power in themselves. But as signs, they point us to where we need to look. They point us to Christ. To Christ, the bread of heaven. He says in John 6:31, also printed at the head of your bulletin, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The bread before us, when we break it and divide it and share it, the cup that we will share, these things point us to the one whose body was broken on the cross, to the one whose blood was poured out in death. Their death swallowed him, and he swallowed death for us. And we are called to feast on Him, to feast on Christ, the bread of heaven. How? How do we feast on Christ, the bread of heaven? Well, in that same chapter in John 6:35, He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will not hunger, and he who believes in Me will never thirst. We feast on Christ when we see Him by faith proclaimed to us in His Word, when we look at His saving work for us as He bore our sins and the judgment our sin deserves and poured out His life and death. When we look to Him and see Him by faith, we receive all the benefits of His saving death. Our sins are forgiven. We are made the sons and daughters of the living God. The Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in us. Now, it may have happened for you a long time ago, but we continue to need these graces. We continue to need these blessings. We continue to need to feast upon Jesus Christ. We are aided by the sacrament. That is why He gave it. So that when we take the bread in our hands, believers in Christ, and meditate on what it means, and take it into our body, and taste it, and contemplate that this is how real the suffering of our Lord was for us, and this is how we must receive Him, with a vital and living connection, as if eating Him and taking Him into ourselves, by fellowship that is sealed by the Holy Spirit and received by faith. The sacrament helps us. It's an aid. The Word of God instructs us. Christ comes to us. He stands among us. Right now, as you are hearing the words of Scripture pointing to Christ, as you are hearing my words, to the extent that they are true to the Word of God, Christ is present. And Christ is speaking to you. And Christ is offering Himself to you. And Christ is saying, come to me and feast upon me by faith. And you will not hunger and you will not thirst. He comes to us in His Word as we gather in public worship on the Lord's Day. And if you would feed on Christ and grow in Him, then you need to be faithful to keeping the fourth commandment and worshiping on the Lord's Day with God's people. But not only on the Lord's Day. Every day. Every day. Feeding upon Christ. As you take His Word in your hand, in your family, in your own personal, private, quiet time with Him, as you take His Word and you ask Him to speak to you, and He speaks to you out of the Word, and you speak to Him in prayer, and you have vital, living communion with your Lord, and you ask Him, Lord, in Your Word, show me Yourself. Enable me by faith to see more of You, to learn more about You, to be strengthened in the grip I have upon Your promises and my reliance upon Your work and Your faithfulness. Help me to see more of Your love and become more like You. Yes, help me to feast upon You, Lord Jesus Christ, that I might grow in love for You and in love for others and in obedience to Your Word. And so,